John F. Kennedy Space Center, Florida. Langley Research Center, Hampton, VA. Lewis Research Center, Cleveland, Ohio. Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston, Texas. Nuclear Rocket Development Station, Jackass Flats. Pacific Launch Operations Office, Lompoc, California. Wallops Station, Wallops Island, VA. Western Operations Office, Santa Monica, California. NASA Headquarters, Washington, D.C. The spaceship industry has long overtaken the automobile industry as a pace setter in the market. On 1st of July, 1967, 22,828 people were working at the Cape Kennedy Space Center. The annual budget for this station alone amounted to $475,784,000 in 1967. All that because a few crazy people want to go to the moon? I think I have already given sufficient convincing examples of what we owe research into space travel today, and these only as byproducts, ranging from objects in everyday use to complicated medical apparatus which save people's lives every hour of the day all over the world. The super technology in the course of development is truly no scourge of mankind. It is carrying mankind into the future which begins a new daily with seven-leagued boots. The author had a chance to ask Wernher von Braun for his opinion of the hypotheses put forward in this book. Dr. von Braun, do you consider it possible that we shall find life on other planets in our solar system? I consider it possible that we shall come across lower forms of life on the planet Mars. Do you consider it possible that we are not the only intelligences in the universe? I consider it extremely probable that not only plant and animal life, but also intelligent living creatures exist in the infinite reaches of the universe. The discovery of such life is a most fascinating and interesting task, but considering the enormous distances between our own and other solar systems and the still greater distances between our galaxy and other galactic systems, it is doubtful whether we shall succeed in proving the existence of such forms of life or getting into direct communication with them. Is it conceivable that older, technically more advanced intelligences live or have lived in our galaxy? Up to the present, we have no proof or indication that older and technically more advanced living beings than ourselves live or have lived in our galaxy. However, on the basis of statistical and philosophical considerations, one am convinced of the existence of such advanced living beings. But I must emphasize that we have no firm scientific basis for this conviction. Is there a possibility that older intelligences could have paid a visit to our Earth in the dim mists of time? I won't deny this possibility. But to the best of my knowledge, no archaeological studies have so far provided any basis for that kind of speculation. Here my conversation with the father of the Saturn rocket ended. Unfortunately, the author could not tell him in detail about all the remarkable discoveries, the absurdities, the old books handed down to us as unsolved puzzles, the countless questions that archaeological finds force upon us when considered with space eyes. But Dr. von Braun awaits the documentation of this book. Chapter 12, Tomorrow, Where Do We Stand Today? Will man dominate space one day? Did unknown beings from the infinite reaches of the cosmos visit the Earth in the remote past? Are unknown intelligences somewhere in the universe trying to make contact with us? Is our age, with its discoveries that are taking the future by storm, really so terrible? Should the most shattering results of research be kept secret? Will medicine and biology discover a way of restoring deep frozen mental life? Will men from Earth colonize new planets? Will they mate with the inhabitants they find there? Will men create a second, third and fourth Earth? Will special robots replace surgeons one day? Will hospitals in the year 2100 be spare parts stores for defective men? Will it become possible in the distant future to prolong man's life indefinitely with artificial hearts, lungs, kidneys, etc.? Will Huxley's brave new world come true one day in all its improbability and chilling inhumanity? A compendium of such questions could easily get as big as the London Telephone Directory. Not a day passes without something brand new being invented somewhere in the world. Every day another question can be struck from the list of impossibilities as answered. Edinburgh University received a preliminary grant of £270,000 from the Nuffield Trust for the development of an intelligent computer. The prototype of this computer was put into conversation with a patient, and afterwards the patient could not believe that he had been talking to a machine. Professor Dr. Machie, who designed this computer, claimed that his machine was beginning to develop a personal life. The new science is called futurology. Its goal is the planning and detailed investigation and understanding of the future by all the technical and mental means available. Think tanks are springing up all over the world. What they amount to are monasteries of scientists of today, who are thinking for tomorrow. 164 of these think tanks are at work in America alone. They accept commissions from the government and heavy industry. The most celebrated think tank is the RAND Corporation at Santa Monica in California. The U.S. Air Force were responsible for its foundation in 1945. The reason? High-ranking officers wanted a research program of their own on intercontinental warfare. 843 selected scientific authorities now work in the two-storied magnificently laid-out research center. The first ideas and plans for the foundations of mankind's most improbable adventures are born here. As early as 1946, RAND scientists evaluated the military usefulness of a spaceship. When RAND developed the program for various satellites in 1951, it was called Utopian. Since RAND has been functioning, the world can thank this research center for 3,000 accurate accounts of hitherto unobserved phenomena. RAND scientists have published more than 110 books, which have advanced our culture and civilization immeasurably. There is no end in sight to this research work, and there is unlikely to be one. Similar work for the future is being done in the following institutes: the Hudson Institute at Harman-on-Hudson, NY, the Tempo Center for Advanced Studies belonging to General Electric at Santa Barbara, California, the Arthur Little Institute at Cambridge, Mass., and the Battelle Institute at Columbus, Ohio. Governments and big business simply cannot manage without these thinkers for the future. Governments have to decide on their military plans far in advance. Big businesses have to calculate their investments for decades ahead. Futurology will have to plan the development of capital cities for 100 or more years ahead. Equipped with present-day knowledge, it would not be difficult to estimate, say, the development of Mexico for the next 50 years. In making such a forecast, every conceivable fact would be taken into account, such as the existing technology, means of communication and transport, political currents, and Mexico's potential opponents. If this forecast is possible today, unknown intelligences could certainly have made such a forecast for the planet Earth 10,000 years ago. Mankind has a compulsive urge to think out in advance and investigate the future with all the potentialities at its command. Without this study of the future, we should probably have no chance of unraveling our past. For who knows whether important clues for the unraveling of our past do not lie around the archaeological sites, whether we do not trample them heedlessly underfoot, because we do not know what to make of them? That is the very reason why I advocated a utopian archaeological year. In the same way that I am unable to believe in the wisdom of the old patterns of thought, I do not ask others to believe my hypothesis. Nevertheless, I expect and hope that the time will soon be right to attack the riddle of the past without prejudice, making full use of all the refinements of technology. It is not our fault that there are millions of other planets in the universe. It is not our fault that the Japanese statue of Tokamai, which is many thousands of years old, has modern fastenings and eye apertures on its helmet. It is not our fault that the stone relief from Palenque exists. It is not our fault that Admiral Piri Reis did not burn his ancient maps. It is not our fault that the old books and traditions of human history exhibit so many absurdities. but it is our fault if we know all this, but disregard it and refuse to take it seriously. Man has a magnificent future ahead of him, a future which will far surpass his magnificent past. We need space research and research into the future and the courage to tackle projects that now seem impossible. For example, the project of concerted research into the past which can bring us valuable memories of the future. Memories which will then be proved and which will illuminate the history of mankind, for the blessing of future generations. End.